Very recently, I was advised by a woman of high spiritual consciousness that she had been living on a false cloud, a general idea was that God is ever-present, and therefore the Spirit of God is the law unto her life and those around her. Omnipotence is at work, and as a consequence, she had lived in this quiet inner assurance that all was well. But out of the blue, all was not well. And she could not fit the pieces together because most of her life had been lived in the pursuit of truth, which she thought she had attained. And now at this crucial moment, it was as if there were no bottom. And she went sliding down and down and down and tried very valiantly to find some place where she could make a stand. But there seemed to be none. In spite of everything she could do, the circumstance that was affecting her continued and deepened. It seemed to be totally independent of everything she had done, learned, and seen throughout her life. And then when it was all over, she was able to say, I needed that. I needed it because I was living in a false belief. I didn't really know what I thought I knew. It had never really been tested that completely. And she was grateful for her experience. All of us, of course, encounter the same experience at one time or another, and usually more than once. When the bottom of our cloud disappears, and we find ourselves looking up, 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 but there's nobody there to help us. Nothing to hold on to. And we wonder, what was I doing all these years when I thought I and the Father were one? So the purpose of today's lesson is to find out just what does go wrong when even a high consciousness suddenly discovers that it isn't quite as high as it thought it was. And from this, to be able to close the gap between the separated human consciousness and the divine. We find an answer to this after the resurrection of Jesus. In spite of 3 years of teaching, he finds the disciples now fishing and catching no fish. And he tells them to cast their net on the other side of the ship. And this reminded me of the woman who fell off her cloud. She had been casting her net on the wrong side of the cloud. But what does this signify in down-to-earth terminology? We find it still again in other places. After resurrection, when Jesus comes upon the disciples and says to Thomas, so you disbelieved that I had returned because you weren't there to see me. Here, feel. And Thomas says, oh, now that I feel the wounds, I know it is you. And Jesus replies, yes, and blessed are those who do not see but believe. And again, he is teaching us that that there is a separation between our intellectual knowledge, our visible evidence, and that which is the spiritual realization of selfhood. And that difference between the intellectual understanding of who I am and the spiritual realization of selfhood was revealed when he spoke and said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Now there should be none of us here after today who doubt a certain area of this message. There should be no Thomas remaining, and there should be no individual living on a false cloud. When Jesus was ready to step out of this garment of clay, he said, "Now, Father, glorify thou me." And the voice thundered back, "I have glorified thee, and I will do it again." And in there you will find a great clue to where we are going today. I want you to go back to Gautama the Buddha, a great miracle man who wrought miracles so that one-third the population of the earth followed him. And you know, he said, "I am a seeker of truth." And Jesus came later and said, "I am the truth." One was fishing on one side of the ship, and one was fishing on the other. One was still seeking truth, and one realized, "I am the truth." What did Martha say before the tomb of her brother? "I know that he will be raised in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." The woman of Samaria said, "We know that Messiah will come and he will tell us all things." Jesus said, "I am he that speaks to you." Always, there is a human consciousness, even at the highest levels, which is looking to tomorrow for its truth, for its resurrection, for its peace, for its harmony. And the Master says, "There is no tomorrow. I am now, here, today." Now suppose you wanted to buy something that cost $5, and you had a $5 bill which could go right out with and could purchase that which you wanted, but instead you took it somewhere and got 500 pennies, and then every day you put a penny in a jar for 500 days. Finally, on the 500th day, your jar is full, you empty the pennies, convert it to a $5 bill, and then go out and buy that which you wanted. Wouldn't that be nonsense when you had the $5 bill to start with? So it is, I am is the reality of our being. And as we exchange I am into pennies and then put them away day by day, hoping someday to redeem them, we are merely denying that which we are. For example, you may seek your health in tomorrow, your comfort, your security, your safety, the activity of your life. But that's fishing on the wrong side of the ship. It's casting our net into time. There is no time in I am. There is no tomorrow in I am. That which you will seek in all your tomorrows is already finished in I am this moment. And rather than seek in the future the fulfillment of your being, you must cast your consciousness, your net, on the other side of the ship, which is the realization of I am now. The fullness of being is already established. Many of us have wondered why, in spite of our high effort, we occasionally will stumble, and it is because we have not caught the understanding that the visible human life we are living out is but an expression of the completed reality of our infinite life in spirit, which cannot be added to or subtracted from. There is a path laid out for each individual. It is the only path that individual can follow. It matters not how you decide to go, or where you decide to go, or when. Your path is specific and yours alone. And it has already been completed in the spirit. That is the meaning of I have glorified you, and I will glorify thee again. Until you follow your path, which in spirit is completed, and follow that in the flesh, you are not walking in that path which is the way to self, but rather diverging from it, and consequently each time you are called back. The karmic law then is the unawareness of that spiritual path which has been completed in my name, and which visibly must be walked, because that which is already committed in spirit must appear on earth. The crucifixion of Jesus was completed in spirit before it appeared visibly. And always that which we are to follow on the path of spirit appears to be in our future, but it is in our past. The past, the spiritual completion, is the future of the time body, the body of flesh that is spun out in time, is merely walking a path that was completed from the foundations of the world. And as you learn this, you learn the inevitability of the path you must walk. You learn the inevitability of the word which cannot return void. And you learn that you cannot fish out of a material consciousness, because it receiveth not the things of God. It cannot be one with the reality of your own spiritual selfhood. And so you develop a listening ear, because without that listening ear, you cannot be instructed by the eye which has gone before thee to prepare a place for you. Now sometimes you're falling very quickly, and in that fall, it would be well to have a way of a quick, almost instantaneous realization of self. And this is a way I'd like to suggest to you, so that in the presence of a condition which to you is overpowering and leaves you unable to maintain your spiritual position, this would be a very significant way to make your stand. As you have an outer eye, you have an inner eye. And as you have corporeal eyes, you have an incorporeal eye. That incorporeal eye is your inner eye, your mystic eye, your limitless eye, your within eye, your single eye. And that eye is the only eye of you which can view and fasten its gaze upon the kingdom of God within. It is the eye of your immortal soul. And with that eye alone, do you have the faculty to see the kingdom of God, the new heaven. And so you must learn to rest in that inner eye for a moment, and then realize that it is still only the vine. For looking at your inner eye is the infinite eye. And the infinite eye, beholding your eye, is now demanding that you behold it. And as you turn your inner eye upward to the infinite eye within, you will discover an instant oneness which will take you above all thought processes and reestablish quickly the infinite presence, the realized I am, so that without the need to dwell in logic or reason or thought or memory, or affirming or denying, you can stand upward in your vision looking at the infinite eye, which then claims you and absorbs you into itself. And I am that I am. There I stand as the infinite self in a realm above the need for defense against any visible condition, circumstance, person, place, or thing. Now you'll find this does work as an instant awareness that takes you out of personal selfhood. But it is not enough. For this must become a permanent consciousness. This must become that consciousness which is ever aware that only I am. God is all. And the name of God is I am. Be still and know that I am God. But the kingdom of God is within you, and therefore the kingdom of I am is within you. The place whereon you stand is the kingdom of I am. And now we are coming to a great realization which the disciples still were unable to attain even during the resurrection of Jesus, because they had not understood that the universal I am is the individual I am. They are one and the same. I, the universal Father, and I, the Son, are the one I am. The infinite I am individualizes itself as the I am, which is your name. So that I am an individual who is one with my infinite self, and the infinite and the individual are one and the same. God the Father, I am, becomes God the Son, I am. And in this realization, instead of living on a cloud nine thinking God is doing God's job, instead of believing in truth, instead of seeking truth, instead of knowing truth, I am truth. I am being truth. Instead of seeking health, I am health. Instead of seeking safety, I am safety. Always, I am the one that I am seeking. And in that realization, omnipresence is accepted as the only presence. There is not a seeker and that which is sought. There is nothing to be attained, for that which I would attain is in the false consciousness, which is on the wrong side of the ship. The consciousness on the right side of the ship is the consciousness that all that the Father is, I am, because the Father and I are one and the same. Until you are ready to erase all belief in a you that is seeking God, in a you that is seeking health, in a you that is seeking eternal life, in a you that is seeking immortality, until you erase these beliefs, you are still the seeker, the second one, the dual consciousness. And this was the great contribution which came from the Master. When Moses realized that, he had said to God, "What shall I say to these Israelites when I tell them to follow me?" God said, "Tell them that I am sent you. For I am that I am," said God. When Jesus had resurrected, he said to his disciples, "And now go forth and preach the gospel of repentance in my name, starting in Jerusalem." And just a moment later he said, "And wait in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem until you are imbued from on high." And so now you must see what Jerusalem means. Because Jerusalem means the self. Tarry in the self. Go out and preach repentance in my name, but beginning first with the self. Unless you have accepted your selfhood to be the divine I am, you cannot preach repentance to anyone else. The New Jerusalem is the realization of I am, the illumined consciousness, the return to the Father's house. Whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And whom do men say that you are? Your answer must follow. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when you take into consciousness the realization that I am, you must also leave outside those remnants of false understanding which say I am not. Think of the many I am nots that we are saying all day. I am not the Son of God. How? Well, I am a physical form, and that certainly is not the Son of God. I am living a human life. I am aging. I weigh so many pounds. I have a birthday coming up. Tomorrow I'm going to see if I can do such and such. All of these are statements that I am not. I don't feel too good today, but with a week's rest I should feel better. This is the statement that I am not. And so he said, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me? the watching, the alertness, the resting in the realization of I am. And then the human consciousness, which reports the lacks, the limitations, the fears and the doubts, the material selfhood, the personal self, all of this is the I am not consciousness of the human race, out of which we must step forth and become separate. For I am. While the human race cast its net on the left side of the ship into material consciousness, into the belief that I am here as a person and God is there as God, we must turn to the right side of the ship, cast our net, our spiritual consciousness, in the realization that I am incorporeal. I am not man of flesh. I am not physical substance. I am not that which emerged from a womb and will go back to the dust of the earth. That I am, the disciples had not come to. Now, until you begin tying together all of your knowledge with the realization that I am, you will find even your high knowledge will desert you. It will be an insupportable cloud. Because there must be a place in your consciousness where infinity functions, and it can only function in the I am consciousness. Unless you are infinity functioning where you stand, there is always a cloud of separation. And one way or another, the world consciousness will come through your weakest point and hit you right there in that separation. That is why those of us who think we have reached the high consciousness are often jolted out of our false securities. We have not come to the mountaintop of I am. We may have done it perhaps with our tongues, with our thoughts, but not with that great sacrificing of the mortal self which lays down its life. If you remember, Jesus underlined that several times. My Father loves me because I lay down my life. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself. If a man loveth his life, he shall lose it. But if a man hateth his life in this world, he shall find it. And why are we declaring I am, but still clinging to the me who is making the declaration? We still have not cut that thread which is holding us in humanhood. Now, when you take the inner understanding of I am, it should be with the realization that all that stands where I appear is the pure, incorporeal Spirit of God. None other stands where I stand. There is no human consciousness here. There is no physical being here. There cannot be two. And so really, the understanding of I am is the very peak of your Christ consciousness. It must be built from the foundations of day in and day out. Erasure of that which I am not. It must be built from the foundation of day in, day out, abiding in that inner I that single eye, so that from within the guidance, the intelligence lifts you even above the transcendental wisdom which the world is seeking, that too will fall short. There is no transcendental wisdom in the world that will make you one with the Spirit. Above that you must come into the infinite eye, where there is no you at all to have transcendental wisdom. There is I and I alone. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. For there is none, for I am the Lord, and there is none but I. There is none other. Look unto me, and the name for me is I Am. Look unto I Am, and be saved. Now then, the miracle worker is the kingdom of I Am within you. And when your consciousness is resting there, oblivious to the demands of the world, the demands of the world consciousness, the demands of the world people who throng about you, when you are taking only the word from within as your source, your guide, your inspiration, your shepherd, then alone is I Am living itself as you. Paul lived, but not really, for I Am lived the life of Paul, to the best of his ability to permit it. Moses lived, yet not Paul, yet not Moses. I Am lived the life of Moses. And Jesus lived, yet not Jesus. I Am and the Father are one and the same. His great secret then, for each of us, is that there is only one. And that universal one, I Am. To the degree that you can let go of the other one, you will be returning to the Father's house. And in that return, you are laying down your human life as you know it. But you are picking up that life which is the life of the firstborn. Tomorrow will bring only that which is true today. 100 tomorrows will bring only that which is true today. And the purpose of I Am is to turn you in a new direction, away from your movements in time, into the future, and to realize that all that I have is not thine in a future but now. To open yourself to the acceptance of all that I have now. And then you will find the great miracle worker which says, don't go seeking your health outside of yourself. All that I have is thine. I am thine health. And as you rest in the I Am of your own being, that final connection, that final contact with the infinite is completed in your consciousness. not through prayer, through wishful dreaming, through seeking, but through the acceptance that I am, and therefore I have, and here I have, and here I am, and now I have, and now I am. And this is the erasure of the false consciousness which is declaring that I have not, that I must seek it in time, or in another place, or from another person. This is the erasure of the lie about God. This is the acceptance of Christ as the King of the kingdom of God within you. For Christ, I am. Now, wherever you have erred in any way, it has always been the inability to know I am. Tomorrow, when you look out upon a neighbor, upon a loved one, upon a stranger, upon an enemy, these are human judgments. They are born of the inner separation which we entertain in consciousness. Not knowing I am, we cannot recognize I am when it stands before us and we judge it as neighbor, loved one, friend, or enemy. But it is always I am. The acceptance of I am as myself is incomplete without the acceptance of I am as the self of every individual who has ever and ever will walk the face of the earth. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That which was, that which is, and that which is to be, I am. And now you are thinning down all of the tangents of the mind into a single-pointed realization that the infinite self and the individual self are one and the same, and I am that one. When you have found the inability to meditate, it is because the mind wants to wander. It thinks that there's a place to go, but there is no place to go, because I am there already. When you are in your realization of self, there is no place to go, because I am everywhere. I am omnipresence. I am the only. And therefore I can rest in the only. There is no other. Multiplicity is the lie about the one. I am the only. And there before me, where another appears, I am. Everywhere that another appears, I am. There is none but I am. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and there is none other. You are expanding your consciousness to the realization that I am and your consciousness are one and the same. It is all-embracing, all-encompassing. There is no life but I am. There is no presence but I am. There is no activity but I am. There is no health, no being, no self, no consciousness but I am. There is one. There is one of everything, and I am that one. And this must be your acceptance. This must be your constant striving until you can rest in the I am of being. For only then have you found dominion. The human consciousness is nothing more than that degree of reality which we have not yet experienced. The human consciousness is the unexperienced future, which already exists today. And as you walk into the future, you're walking into that which you are leaving in the present to walk into in the future. Do not do that. Draw yourself together in the now, in the I, and know that all power is in the I. When you have found this I of your being, you will not be concerned with the powers of the world. Any power of any kind can only exist in a false consciousness. In the I, you can rest. In the I, you're not concerned about anything that takes place in time, because I do not live in time. I am spirit, and I am cause, and all that I cause will be manifest. There is nothing in the visible, nothing that can ever deter, delay, or erase cause and its manifestation, for they are one in spirit. You will find that this cause and manifestation in spirit, in your realization of I am, will then show forth even in the visible. Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down myself, he declared. Already in spirit was the realization of self. The human self had already been transcended, and in time it would appear to be crucified. And so it is with you. In time, the physical form will have outlived its purpose, having been crucified through spiritual realization. It will then spin out its days in time, walking in a path of truth, of inner guidance, of self-fulfillment, enacting visibly that which has already been completed in your spiritual realization. Our movement in spirit is in the timelessness of being. Now remember those words then. Go forth and preach repentance, which means turning back to your original consciousness, to the consciousness of the firstborn of God, to the consciousness of the Christ. From your false consciousness, which is the consciousness of the human, which is the consciousness of a separation from God, which is the consciousness that believes it is mortal being, the consciousness that says, I am not immortal now. The repentance is turning from that. But even his disciples could not teach that until they began in Jerusalem. They had to start with, I am. Their true self had to be established before they could go forth and spread the gospel and bless and shine the light. And so from them we learn that we who have been fishing in the intellectual net, in the material net, we have caught few fish because we have been unwilling, in a very subtle way, to really leave our material and mental nets. We thought that by even making the great understanding of spiritual selfhood. That we had really stepped forth from our nets, but we hadn't. They were still clinging to us, and whether we realized it or not, most of us subconsciously are striving to help this human self. We are reaching out for spirit to help us in our humanhood. We are trying to improve our sense of mortality. And that's why it's such a gratifying thing when we meet within and know that in our own household we have that core of those who have reached the point where they're not trying to improve corporeality or to cling to humanhood or to in any way gratify their sense of mortal being, but rather to lay down that false sense of life which has been the tomb of the human race, and to let the light of I Am come through with its liberating influence, transforming our consciousness, transfiguring our material and mental world into the divine image, so that we see Him as He is and see that I am that one. This new consciousness of spirit cannot be shared with the consciousness of matter. And even high disciples continue to do that. It is a total letting go, an absolute freedom from the physical form and the physical life, so that I, independent of matter, can move in that sphere of spirit which is my natural home. On this side of the so-called veil, in this beginning, in this early stumbling in spirit, we find our strength. And then we do not try to lay out a plan for development. We do not try to channel our old world mentality into this new world of spirit. But because God alone, Spirit alone, Infinity alone, is the only existence, we place our total faith, and by total I mean, because Spirit is infinite, faith must be infinite. So we place infinite faith, an unquestioning understanding that truth is the substance of my being, the presence of myself, the law unto myself, and truth knows no opposite. We rest in the truth of self, in the immanence. We could go further into Revelation, where we find those who had attained this crossing through the veil, and now they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. But look where we had to go to find it, all the way into Revelation, after crucifixion, after resurrection, after ascension. and the song of Moses that they were singing was the realization that I am. There is no other than God. There is no other than the infinite spiritual self. I am that I am. And did not the name Jesus mean God with us? That was the song of the Lamb. God with us, which is the same as I am that I am. Throughout the Bible, Spirit in its great wisdom has spoken words that reveal the truth and at the same time used the form of a prophet in such a way that when the truth was revealed through the prophet, he was not instantly crucified. So Spirit never said through the prophets that man is invisible, that man is immortal, that man is undying, that man was never born and can never die, that no man has ever died in the kingdom of God, that sickness is a myth, that there is no lack and no limitation, that there is no mortality, there is no material being. Spirit never said these things, but it said them in words like, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. I and the Father are one. Always, even in the Old Testament, my members were made in thee before I appeared, somewhere in one of the Psalms, 136 possibly. Always the revelations were given in such a way that only the individual who was drawn on the path of Spirit would take the time to look behind the message to find the kernel of truth there. For what would it profit men in the times of the ancients to say man is invisible to a multitude who were thinking only of their next meal? But we today are given a unique privilege. These same statements can now be spoken in a different tongue. They can be spoken to those who will accept nothing less than the illumined consciousness of their own being, who have learned to decode the words of wisdom into the spiritual truth that is significant to lift them into not an imitation of life, not a pretense, not a search, but the living of the life that is the only life. And so today we can say things, for the Spirit has leavened the consciousness of the world that it may receive the truth, and ultimately each of us must walk forth no longer receiving truth from the outer world. Each of us must become a living Bible. We live by revelation from I am within. For I am within is also the infinite I am without. And God the Father and God the Son are oned, revealed as walking the earth without any separation caused by a non-existent human consciousness. We're walking out of the garment of clay, out of the garment of intellect, and deep down inside each of us is a voice that is ever saying, I am come I stand at the door and knock. And this voice has been speaking in terms of time for centuries beyond count, to each of us saying, I stand at the door of your consciousness, and when you open that door and accept I, and let I enter your consciousness, as I am doing now, then I stand in the midst of your consciousness. And soon you realize that I am your consciousness. And now I can sup with you, and you with me, because I am can feed the wisdom of the Father to the Son. And the I which has gone before us is also with us. God with us eternally. And that I in the midst of me now is the only power, the only might, the only mind, the only substance, the only law. It is independent of the false edifices that have been built in the minds of men. It is eternal. It is our one self. We rest there. We accept. And now we have no tomorrows. We have the eternal self, not limited to time. This is the realm we are to live in. Now each of us is entering this new consciousness. Each of us is the final fruition of that which in time took place on this earth during the past 6,000 years. Each of us is the visible fruitage of that which invisibly was planted in the consciousness of those who were faithful to the Father. We do not return to the Father's house through human footsteps, through footsteps of flesh. Our return is by the acceptance of divine self to be our only being. And learning how to cease from saying, I am not. To cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. To cease from man whose home is in the flesh. I am. And beside me there is none other. This is the infinite knot that you must tie.